What does the location data from phones tell us about what activities are safer in a pandemic? I'm David Brancaccio. First, Johnson & Johnson says it'll stop selling its iconic talcum version of its baby powder in the U.S. and Canada. Consumers have been avoiding it in favor of a cornstarch-based powder amid lawsuits that claim the talc version is unsafe. Marketplace's Nova Safo, what do we know?
Well, we know that Johnson & Johnson says in a statement that lawsuits over its talc-based powder have tarnished the product's image, but the company is not conceding that the powder causes cancer. In fact, it says it remains, quote, steadfastly confident in the powder's safety. Still, lawsuits, David, have been mounting, nearly 20,000 of them, and there have been some eye-popping damage awards, $4.7 billion in a Missouri trial, $29 million in California. Johnson & Johnson is appealing those cases.
But why take it off the shelves if Johnson & Johnson believes it's safe?
Well, if you ask the company, they say it's because demand is dropping and consumer habits are changing. But we also asked David Knoll what's happening. He teaches complex litigation at Rutgers University, and he believes this has to do with settling lawsuits.
For parties that were negotiating the settlement or thinking about how to settle the cases, that stream of new cases made it very hard to estimate the total value of a settlement. So what this does is it effectively cuts off the stream of new plaintiffs.
And potentially, David, that means parties now can more easily negotiate and come to terms.
Nova, thank you. The Small Business Administration says it has now approved over $500 billion in forgivable loans to businesses to keep people on payrolls. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more on how the average loan size has fallen.
After the first round of PPP loans ran out of money, the SBA said the average loan size was over $200,000. Now, that average has dropped to about $120,000.
It was cut in half or more, and every single state between rounds one and two.
Kurt Long is the chief economist at the National Association of Federally Insured Credit Unions. He says the SBA made some changes after the second round started, such as temporarily giving smaller lenders exclusive access to the funds.
So that allowed a lot of credit unions and other small lenders to get those applications that had been sort of stacking up to get those processed.
Smaller businesses with smaller loan requests had a lot of competition for loans in the first round, says Luke Wake, senior staff attorney with the National Federation of Independent Business.
Bigger small businesses, in quotation marks, those closer to the 500 employee mark, were snatching up those loans.
Wake says the falling average loan size is a sign that smaller businesses are finally getting loan approvals. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
Two numbers. True, the Congressional Budget Office now predicts that U.S. economic growth will fall 38% this quarter. Yet the Dow future is up 304 points, 1.3% now.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Today, Connecticut becomes the last of the 50 states to begin easing some lockdown restrictions. It's one of the great public health puzzles of all time. Which activities do you open earlier than others? I spoke to Seth Benzel, a postdoctoral associate at the MIT Initiative on the Digital Economy, who's come up with a system to use smartphone location data to inform which of life's activities are more or less likely to spread coronavirus over time, correlated with the social and economic value that people place on those activities.
So the way we conceptualize the decision to leave one type of location open and close down another type of location is as a trade-off between the economic and social benefits of a location being open and its cumulative contribution to transmission risk. So on the plus side of a location, we have things like the revenue, its payroll, its number of employees. Then on the transmission risk side, we use large-scale mobility data through people's cell phones to evaluate how many visits a location has and how crowded that location is for how long, as well as how far people had to travel to get to those locations. But I just want to emphasize that it's a cumulative risk. We're not trying to measure the risk per visit of, for example, going to a bank, but rather the cumulative transmission risk from all the visits to all of the banks.
All right, so who wins? I mean, it's big box stores for starters, right?
Oh, definitely. Some of the locations that come out really good in our measure are really intuitive ones that many states have identified already as being essential services. It's things like grocery stores, general merchandise stores, you should read Walmart there, banks.
Now, in this framework, who would open a bit later?
Yeah, so the locations that are worst in our metric are gyms, cafes, juice bars and dessert parlors, sporting goods stores, and liquor and tobacco stores. Liquor and tobacco stores, I do think, is a little bit of a surprising one to see on this list because so many states have listed liquor and tobacco stores as essential businesses. And according to our metric, they come out very poorly. Not a huge economic contribution, mediocre consumer value, and again, these small, densely, highly trafficked stores.
Yeah, but there's some thirsty people right now, despite the early hours, saying, oh, come on, there's a major contribution to their lifestyle there. But okay, I'm hearing you.
I don't want to be a killjoy here, but these are strange and troubling times. And every time we have an interaction with another human, especially in a dense space, that's a chance for the virus to spread. So we really need to ration our social contact and think really seriously about, if I can only interact with people so many times today, do I really want to spend so much of my social contact budget on a trip to a liquor store?
Seth Benzel is a postdoctoral associate at the MIT Initiative on the Digital Economy. Seth, thank you.
David, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Now, in Benzel's analysis, houses of worship show up toward the middle of the risk-reward reopening scale, not as safe as, say, opening college classrooms, but well above gyms and those liquor stores we were talking about. He says he's trying to get governor's offices around the country to consider his data as reopening plans take shape. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.